The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Breaking news, the deal is official. That bad man Aaron Rodgers has signed his contract with the Green Bay Packers. He will make about $150 million in guaranteed money over the first 3 years of his new deal with the Green Bay Packers. That according to a copy of the contract obtained by ESPN. Due to the allocation of bonus money, in the first year of the deal, the Packers will actually save close to $18 million against their salary cap for 2022. Stephen A., your boy's making $150 million in guaranteed. Are you happy?
I don't care.
Oh.
He deserves it.
Hey, good talk.
I have no problem with Aaron Rodgers getting the money at all. He absolutely deserves it, but I don't give a damn.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is going 12 years without hosting the Lombardi Trophy, or 11 years without hosting the Lombardi Trophy. That's the number one thing that I'm interested in. And number two, get Devontae Adams his money. Mm-hmm. You know, that brother has been balling. Three of the last 4 years, he's had a minimum of 111 receptions for 1,300-plus yards. The brother has been balling. He has everything to do with the fact that you've been a reigning two-time league. You are a reigning two-time league MVP. Get that brother his money, okay? And then, all right, we'll see what you do next year.
Hey, Marcus, can I call an audible here instead of you reacting to the money? Could you tell me this? Now that we heard Tommy Brady's coming back, who do you think has a better shot to win the division? Would you say it's Rodgers and the Packers or Tom Brady and the Bucks next season?
Well, don't forget about the Los Angeles Rams and Matthew Stafford either. Yeah. But between them two, I would go to Aaron Rodgers because of what Tampa may have to give up. You know, they had a lot of free agents. Tampa had 22 free agents, and they brought everybody back, and they tried to run it back. That's not going to be the case this year. So we got to figure out what's going to happen with Tampa. They just lost two of their guards, which is important to what Tom Brady does. But on the Aaron Rodgers thing, like, I'm not listen clearly before everybody think I'm comparing these two. I got a question for USA. What will Matthew Stafford's legacy be?
Well, Matthew Stafford is now a Super Bowl champion.
Okay.
So I think that's what the legacy is going
to be. There you go. And a team traded picks for him. They bet the house on him. That's what Green Bay has just done.
And he delivered.
And he delivered. That's what Green Bay has just done with Aaron Rodgers. And we know Aaron Rodgers is great. Anybody that watched this show, they know how good Aaron Rodgers is based on how you talk about him. His legacy will be determined because we don't hold Aaron Rodgers in the realm of a guy that just wins one Super Bowl. I know it's unfortunate, but he played his way beyond that because he is so good at playing the position. His legacy will be determined in these next 3 years. This, I won't say determined. This will be a large portion of how we think about Aaron Rodgers when he hangs up his cleats. I think he can get it done, S.A. I think he's going to get an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl and win a championship. But if he don't, we're going to be having a totally different conversation about Aaron Rodgers and this tenure and this saga with Green Bay.
Last point about this. The reason why it's so profound what both of us have just said about him is because the reality of the situation is Aaron Rodgers had a pass for many years.
Yes.
When Mike McCarthy was coaching the football team, we looked at the defense or lack thereof, and we saw how he was bereft of weapons. Yeah, you had Jordy Nelson, but you could have had other dudes and stuff like that, and we looked at it and we said, it ain't Aaron Rodgers' fault. It ain't Aaron Rodgers' fault. It ain't Aaron Rodgers' fault. Well, this time we saying it's his fault. When you score 10 points on your home field, I don't give a damn if it was an ice storm. I don't give a damn if it was the fog bowl from the days of Chicago. I don't care what it is. You cannot be Aaron Rodgers with Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, Dillon, and all of these brothers and score 10 points in a divisional playoff game after you had a bye week and San Francisco did it because they had to beat up on the Cowboys. You cannot turn around and have just 10 points. You can't do that.
Can't do it.
So this is on him.
Yeah. Let's go to the AFC, guys. The AFC West has become a gauntlet of a division in the NFL this offseason, right? With teams making big moves, things obviously got started with the Russell Wilson trade to Denver, while the rest have looked to bolster their defenses in recent days, including the Chargers, adding Khalil Mack to that already impressive defensive line. Stephen A., does the AFC West still run through Patrick Mahomes when you're looking at the quarterbacks that we have in this division now?
Until further notice, I would say yes. I'm fully aware of the fact that the Cincinnati Bengals beat them in the AFC Championship game. I'm fully aware of the fact that Buffalo should have beaten them because Josh Allen did deliver a touchdown with 13 seconds left. And for some reason, Buffalo's defense couldn't prevent Patrick Mahomes and them from getting in the field goal range in 13 seconds. Dallas Cowboys couldn't get off a snap in 14 seconds, but Kansas City could drive down the field in 13 seconds. Eat on that one. That'll make no damn sense.
Can you stop? That's two Cowboy references we did not need.
It's just the truth. It's just the truth, okay? It's just the truth. But I'm telling you this. In the AFC West, somehow, some way, no matter what the Las Vegas Raiders do, no matter what the Denver Broncos do, no matter what the Chargers do, somehow, some way, at least in recent memory, Kansas City continues to find a way. Now, there's Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, and Derek Carr, who got the Raiders to the playoffs to deal with. And I get that. And I'm not saying they're going to win every game within the division. I'm just saying Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes is still that dude. Travis Kelce is still that dude. Tyreek Hill is still that dude when it comes to going up against the AFC West.
Yeah.
And until further notice, I'm just going to stick with Kansas City for the time being, even though I'm a huge Justin Herbert fan, and I love SoFi. It is a special stadium. It really is.
All right, here we go. Here we go. And it's about to go stupid on my mentions. Los Angeles Chargers. I think these moves that they made put them squarely in the number one spot.
Really?
J.C. Jackson, man. Stephen A., I talked about this on SportsCenter almost a day or two after the Super Bowl, and their number one target should have been a lockdown corner, and they got him. I did not see them getting Khalil Mack. And let me put America on notice.
Yes,
if you don't think we going to see a different Khalil Mack than we saw in Chicago with an opportunity to win a championship, and Stephen A., you've been covering this game longer than I've been around. You know what a change of scenery and a different opportunity does for particular players. It ain't like we talking about Khalil Mack ain't still good. We just going to see Khalil Mack go back to that level we saw him when he was with the Oakland Raiders.
No
across
question.
From Bosa and sneaky.
Oh, yes.
They signed a guy by the name of Sebastian Joseph Day from the Los Angeles Rams because their issue was trying to stop the run. Well, they made a plan to get that done too.
Let's pause for a second. Is the Mac Daddy Khalil Mack? You ain't got to convince me. I know he was contaminated by what was transpiring in Chicago. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And J.C. Jackson is that dude, the brother special. Like him a lot.
Don't forget Derwin James over there.
Absolutely.
Don't forget.
Now Derwin James, no question about it. But I'm just talking about Sebastian for a second. Let's understand the importance of this brother, how smooth he is. He said, I ain't leaving L.A.
I ain't leaving L.A.
I'm going to be right here. I mean, it don't make no difference to me. I ain't got to change the address.
Yeah.
The weather conditions don't change. My wardrobe don't have
beautiful.
To change.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Beautiful.
I'm good. That's a beautiful move on his part.
For sure.
That's a beautiful move. From L.A. to L.A. to the same stadium.
Wait, Marcus.
That's why we all start spending all that time in L.A. Please call me.
Yes.
Please call me so I can
come out there. You can come in studio whenever you want to come in studio. Anytime you're on the show.
I'll give you a call. I have my people call your people.
Okay. Hold on. Before we end this conversation, I have another football question for you, Marcus. And I understand you're the analyst. I'm just the fan. You played nearly a decade in the
league. Molly, stop playing. You know football.
No. But I'm serious. I still would have went Chiefs, but then I would have went the Broncos next.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you just skip the Broncos? Tell me. Because you educated me on – I should have picked the Rams. I should have went Aaron Donald. No,
yeah.
You didn't just tell me why.
He just told you
didn't tell me why not
Mac
the Broncos.
Daddy.
No. But I want to know why he's not high on the Broncos getting Russell Wilson.
I am high on the Broncos. Don't get me wrong. I think this the reason why we're having this conversation in March is because we know what this division is going to look like week in and week out. I'm going with one. Staley better stop going for it on fourth down every time it's a fourth down. The Los Angeles Chargers would have been a playoff team last year. Yeah. If he wouldn't have had, I understand analytics, and I know Mina gonna text me and curse me out, but ultimately, I think it cost them an opportunity to get into the playoffs. We saw Justin Herbert go toe to toe with Patrick Mahomes. They just didn't have enough on the defensive side of the football. Y'all, I cannot reiterate enough how big J.C. Jackson coming to Los Angeles is.
Okay.
I can't reiterate it enough. It changes the dynamic of this division.
I have to interrupt you because we have other L.A. matters to get to.
What?
We need to make sure we don't run out of time. Go ahead, Mom.
Oh, I thought you got a text or something.
We have other L.A. matters
to get to. I thought you had, like, inside
something else. I got something to say.
You want to talk about?
I got something to say.
Let me guess. Do you want to talk about LeBron James?
It ain't going to be about LeBron. It ain't going to be about LeBron.
All right. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. All right, these days, La La Land is looking more like lose-lose land. The Lake Show have now lost 11 of their last 14 games and are in jeopardy of missing the playoffs altogether. LeBron and the Lakers started poorly, ended poorly, and were down as much as 24 points in the first quarter. Here's Frank Vogel on that rough start.
Just another slow start, you know, second game in a row. You know, and really during this stretch, there's been one quarter. You know, it's been the second quarter, the third quarter. The last two games have been the first quarter. Just can't put the ball in the basket, and you know, when you're not making shots, and they're getting a live rebound or a turnover, live ball turnover, yeah, it's tough to set your defense. So you know, I think our effort was good to start, but like I said, you know, our offense is putting us in a tough spot.
There she is, Monica, back here with us. Good to see you. You were missed for like the last 30 minutes, so I'm just happy that you're back. That's good. Do you have a new jacket on, by the way?
I do. I wanted to be in the family photo, so I
just, you did a wardrobe change? Oh, my goodness. I'm here for all of it. Stephen A. will compliment you, and then he'll compliment himself after. I can save him from doing this. Okay, he looks angry.
My mind is on this. I'm ready to get this one right here.
Okay. I'm looking at you. Okay. LeBron's playing a lot of minutes, and they keep losing, Stephen A. Is it time to sit LeBron?
No. It's time for something else. Monica, I take no pleasure in saying this. It's time for Frank Vogel to go. He has to go as head coach of this franchise. It's time to put him out of his misery. It's time to put LeBron James out of his misery. It's not that they're losing. If you're scratching and clawing, it's nip and tuck, but we're able to point to injuries, that would be different. That's not what's going on here with the Los Angeles Lakers. We're seeing a level of inefficiency, a level of ineptitude, a lack of spirit. It's like these guys don't know what it means to be Lakers. It's Frank Vogel's responsibility to overcome that. It's not his fault, ladies and gentlemen, as it pertains to this roster and the position that they put him in. I'm not saying that Frank Vogel doesn't deserve to be a head coach in the National Basketball Association. But I've seen coaches facing arduous circumstances with a roster that performed much better than he's done as a coach. LeBron James is your star. You can lose games. You don't have to be 10 games under 500. You don't have to give up 48 points in the first quarter and then follow that up by getting outscored 26-4 to start a game. There's no spirit. There's no enthusiasm. There is nothing The Lakers are a shell of themselves. At this particular moment in time, it's embarrassing to watch this team. My man Michael Wilbon for PTI, it's gotten to a point where we've had to restrain Michael Wilbon, one of the nicest guys on the planet.
He's the best.
We've had to restrain him from saying stuff that ain't suitable for FCC airwaves. We got the veteran, the godfather. We got to coach him to restrain from going the hell off because he has a problem with the Lakers being on national television. Michael Wilbon, the nicest guy in the business. This dude doesn't even believe the Lakers deserve to be on national TV. I'm talking the NBA package. He doesn't believe they deserve to be a part of that. That's how atrocious they have been. Frank Vogel doesn't play. What's your job? You got to figure it out, bro. And what I mean by that, Eminem, you're the 27th ranked defense in points allowed. The reason Frank Vogel is a coach is because his signature is defense. He was an outstanding coach in Indiana because they were one of the elite defensive teams. The Lakers last year were number one. They're like now at 18th or 19th in defensive efficiency and 27th in points allowed. It is a horror show. And every day that, look, even though I don't believe that LeBron should sit down because he's a part of this mess because he wanted Russell Westbrook, you do have people upstairs with Phil Jackson paying a visit these days, bad hips and all. This brother sitting up there, you know, and you're hearing that, you know, it ain't really Russell Westbrook's fault. It's a mess. You got management blaming coaches. You got players blaming coaches. You got coaches blaming management. You got, I mean, it's a mess. Just a mess. Frank Vogel has to go because most of those players going to be back next year. And if you couldn't coach them this year, what the hell are you going to do next year? That's where I'm at. I'm sorry. I like a man. I think he deserves to be a head coach. I'm not saying get rid of him because he's terrible. I'm saying this situation is too excruciating to stomach any longer. They still got a shot at the play-in. Frank Vogel got to go, Eminem. He's got to go. Put him out of his misery is what I'm saying. Put him out of his misery.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're wrong. And the most important part of what you just said is that the Lakers are in a tough spot in that this roster probably doesn't change much next year. It's unfortunate because it is not Frank Vogel's fault in my mind when you have the opportunity to play alongside or to coach, rather, a guy named LeBron James, who just recently created a whole separate category for himself in the NBA in terms of what he's accomplished, reaching the 10,000 mark in three categories. It would seem that competitive interest and enthusiasm would be something that you would not question. But there is no doubt that the Lakers are in utter despair. Every time they come across TV, I'm like, this legitimately looks like an SNL skit. A mess. And so I understand where you're coming from, but in the here and now, if management, and assuming that Frank Vogel didn't become the Lakers head coach without the blessing of the star that we just mentioned, to me, I don't know if it's a better play, but to the question of whether or not LeBron should sit the rest of the season, I am inclined to say yes, because whether Frank Vogel is still a part of the Lakers organization next year or not, LeBron James has been honest about wanting to finish his career there, and therefore, at this point, we're not even dealing with this year's play-in. Should we win two games in the play-in and they get bounced in the first-round series? Okay, so what? We're now talking about the opportunity to put the Lakers back where Lakers fans and that organization and LeBron James expects them to be in terms of a team that is competing for winning real and meaningful games. And so if that happens to Vogel, whether that does or doesn't, I still think that LeBron James should sit the rest of, well, he should rest the rest of the season, okay, because it's all for naught. What are you doing?
To be continued. Not that I'd ever wish injuries on anybody, but you never know what could happen. It's like, you never know.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
March Madness, who better to get us ready for all of it than the legendary coach of Syracuse University,
yes,
the
sir.
One and only Jim Boeheim. Jim, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Hey, it's great if somebody wants me. Nobody up in Syracuse wants me with them.
We want you here. We'll keep you as long as you let us have you. Let me ask you this, Coach. Before we get into the tournament, I'm just curious. So growing up here in the Northeast, I grew up on Big East basketball. Obviously, I know you guys are in the ACC now. And I've just seen you in so many epic battles continuously. What coach and program, past or present, was your favorite to just battle it out and compete against?
Well, there's only one, John Thompson in Georgetown. We had some epic games, both in the Garden with the Big East tournament, and of course, in our home gyms. John was bigger than life, and his teams always gave you everything they had, and my teams always have given me everything they had. So we had some epic battles, and they'll always be number one in my mind.
Same here, Coach. I grew up loving growing up in Hollis, Queens. I mean, the Big East was everything to me. Mm-hmm. I've never quite gravitated towards you guys being a part of the ACC, but that's a story for another day. You've been in the NCAA tournament three times over the last 5 years. This season, however, was not one of them. Put into perspective what happened to you guys this year. Your son, Buddy, was the leading scorer, had a pretty good season, but ultimately y'all didn't make the NCAA tournament. What happened?
Well, both my sons played well. Offensively, we were 16th in the country in efficiency, which is unheard of for a team that doesn't make the NCAA tournament. The reason we didn't, we were 290 in defense, which is something we pride ourselves on. Our defense just wasn't good enough. We started out the year very poorly. Then we started playing well. We win four in a row, and we're on our way, and our center got hurt and missed the rest of the year. That ended the chances we had of getting in the tournament. We played as well as we could without him, but we were just, we lost four or five games by one or two points, and at the end of the day, we weren't good enough. Our league is a little better than people thought. And thinking now, I think Virginia Tech, Miami, and Duke are going to surprise some people in the NCAA tournament. You know, one thing, Stephen, it's one thing to be good in the regular season and another thing to be good in the tournament. I think our league will be good in the tournament. It's like last year, the Pac-12, nobody thought they were any good. And then the tournament came and they were the best league in the tournament. And to me, that's still important. Not the regular season is important. That's over with now.
Mm-hmm.
What do your teams do in the NCAA tournament? You get in the tournament because you win games in your league. And that's what happened last year with some leagues, and right, they didn't do well in the tournament. So let's see how the teams do this year. I know that Virginia Tech's playing at a really high level. It's always disappointing. If they hadn't beaten Duke, which is a pretty tough thing to do in New York, they wouldn't be in the tournament. Texas A&M got to the finals of their tournament, and they are not in the tournament. That's surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important the committee takes all the season. That's important.
Okay.
But you have to look at the last few games, and if you're losing by 20 and 30, that has to be a problem for a committee.
I agree.
If you're playing really well, it should be something the committee notices. I don't think they took that into account with Texas A&M. And I don't think they would have let Virginia Tech in. And they're both playing at a high level. They both can win games in this tournament. And I mean a lot of games. I would not be shocked if they did.
Coach, we don't have much time. I want to get to Duke for a second because you brought up something that I find very interesting where they're concerned now. I don't mean to bring up bad memories because they beat you three times this year. They beat you three times, including the ACC tournament. But it's Mike Krzyzewski. It's his final year. Here's my thing. You talk about just because of what you do in a regular season doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate to the postseason, to the NCAA tournament specifically. I'm thinking about Duke losing that last game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. I'm thinking about Duke losing in the ACC tournament. I expected them, because they lost to North Carolina in that season finale at Cameron Indoor Stadium, that would be incentive enough for them to run the table. But Virginia Tech obviously has something to say about that, and who knows what's going to happen in the NCAA tournament. Based on what you see, are you surprised at all that Duke lost those quality of games to North Carolina season finale for Coach K and, of course, the ACC tournament?
I'm not surprised. They're very good, but you have to understand their three best players, Bencaro, Keels, Griffin, are all freshmen. They're all freshmen. Their three best players are freshmen. That's not easy to do in the tournament when you're playing against guys that have been there for 5 years. Miami has fifth-year players. Virginia Tech has fifth-year players. A lot of teams in this tournament have fifth-year players. It's hard to overcome that. That's the one thing that will beat Duke in the tournament is that their three best players are still freshmen. And Mike Krzyzewski can overcome that because he's the best coach that we've ever had. But it's not going to be easy. You have to like veteran teams in this tournament. I look at Arizona and Gonzaga. They've got a lot of veteran guys. I like their teams. And there's a couple other teams with more veteran guys that are going to be a big factor in this tournament. But I think it'll be hard for Duke, as much as I like them and I like their talent and I like their coach. Their three best players are freshmen. That's not going to be easy to overcome.
Gotcha.
Yeah, not having that tournament experience. Coach, real quick, before we let you roll and get to your Final Four, I just want to ask this about you, because watching the ACC tournament, I'm seeing your wife in the stands at Barclays, and I feel the agita for her, just having her husband, having, you know, her sons. What has that experience been like for you? Because it's such an incredible story to be coaching your sons.
Well, it's difficult. I'm so happy to see how good they become, and I'm proud of them. But when you're having a losing season, you don't like much of anything. Yeah. My wife has been great. She had a traumatic experience less than 2 weeks ago that she's overcome. In fact, she's trying to help the young man who actually put an air gun right to her head. She's trying to help him through the community, people in the community that we know. And I don't think there's many people that would do that. That's the kind of person she is. And I'm so proud of her. And, my sons were great. I'm so proud of them. And Buddy, you know, made the first mistake he's ever made in his life, and he owned up to it. I'm proud of him, proud of how he did that. That's more important than the basketball. How you are as off the court is the most important thing. We talk about it a lot, but we sometimes don't see those lessons. And I saw him up close this year with both my wife and with my son. And I couldn't be more proud of them both. And it overcomes and trumps everything else.
Yeah. As you should be. That story about your wife, just unbelievable.
Coach,
what a special person. Coach, who do you have winning it all real quick?
I'm going to just guess. It's a guess. I think Arizona, from everything I've seen this year, I like what they're doing.
Like a choice.
It's not going to be easy, but I still think they have. I'm rooting for Gonzaga. Mark Few is a great friend of mine, and he's a great, great coach. And what he's done is probably the biggest story in modern basketball history, what he's done at Gonzaga. They are a power. And who would have thought that 15 years ago? Nobody.
Yeah.
Including even Stephen A. Smith.
Well, I tell you this much, Arizona is special. I love that choice. Because they play defense. They play defense. Yeah. See how that works?
Yeah.
They play defense. They actually stop people from scoring, Coach. All right.
Is that still important?
Yeah, you think?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Back to Colin Kaepernick. Let's go there now. The former Niners quarterback and social activist tweeting this. Great work today, Tyler Lockett. It felt great being out there with you. Thanks for everyone who tapped in via stream with us. The full video of the workout will be posted tomorrow. Looking forward to doing it again. Who else is working? I'll pull up. All right, let's revisit our conversation earlier. And Marcus, you can really take it wherever you want, but we had a heated discussion about if this is the time for Colin Kaepernick to be back in the NFL and potentially what team would be the right fit.
Listen, Molly, it is teams that could bring Colin Kaepernick in for a workout. And I am of the belief that he would be an upgrade in particular situations. And you got teams that don't have quarterbacks. I know Deshaun Watson is out there, and I know a lot of teams are probably trying to figure out that scenario. But Carolina don't have a quarterback. The Saints don't have a quarterback. Cleveland is in the hunt to find, to try to see if they can get Deshaun Watson. There are teams. My point is there are teams. But this ain't about football. And that's the problem and the issue that everybody runs into when we have in this discussion. I think everybody that has talked about Colin Kaepernick from the time that he took his stance until now has all agreed that Colin Kaepernick is good enough to play quarterback in the NFL. Maybe he's not even a starter, which I believe he can be on some rosters. He should be in the NFL. There are not 64 or 32 quarterbacks to me with the talent and the skill set. But what has happened is that he's timed out. And the reason he's timed out is because he took a knee about police brutality, and it brought bad light to the NFL, and the NFL reacted in a way in which they wouldn't react today. I know why the conversation keeps coming up. Because we just went through George Floyd. We saw the league put in racism and Black Lives Matter on the field. We saw them take a stance in that particular situation and all of the things that have transpired after that. But Colin Kaepernick ain't been out the league because he ain't good enough to play quarterback. I've seen all of the conversation. I've seen all of the tweets and, look at his record and look what he was doing. Bruh, listen. I have seen quarterbacks go in games and throw 5 interceptions. I've seen quarterbacks that I have no idea who they are on rosters in the NFL. And you telling me a dude that took a team to a Super Bowl, and I'm not talking about was a part of a team, took a team to a Super Bowl, has not got another shot? It's not about football. It doesn't come back to football. We could have this conversation 1,000 different ways. This is not about Colin Kaepernick's ability. It's not about if he can throw the ball on all levels of the field. It's not about if he's working out with NFL wide receivers or wide receivers that nobody knows. He's good enough to play quarterback in the NFL. He's not going to, because he took a stance and the NFL thought that stance hurt their bottom line. That's why he's not in the NFL, and that's why it's not time to sign Colin Kaepernick in the minds of the owners in the NFL.
Amen. Amen. That's the bottom line. Antonio Brown is not in the league right now. Is it because of his play on the field?
No, sir.
No.
T.O., when he retired and he wasn't wanted, was it because of his play on the field? Marshawn Lynch was sitting down long before Colin Kaepernick took a knee for the national anthem. No one said anything. Colin Kaepernick's different because Colin Kaepernick took a political stance. And what happened was, the owners didn't even care until the situation was politicized, and it was turned into something that it was not. And then you had folks all over the country, primarily white, who stood up in the millions and was saying, wait a minute. It's about our country and patriotism. And they said, the hell with that. We will not patronize this product. Remember, Molly, when you came on the air with us years ago and you pointed out how the NFL had released some data, we had found out some data, like the NFL, even though each and every single owner had gotten $246 million apiece, it would have been a little bit more if Colin Kaepernick hadn't protested. And they held that against them, even though they were pocketing $246 million apiece. Because that's what they care about.
Yep.
And everybody acting like they surprised. I'm saying Colin Kaepernick knew that. His woman knew that. His supporters knew that. Eric Reed was in the NFL and he knew it. Everything in life, when you're taking a stance, particularly for righteous causes, put Swagoo up on the screen when I'm talking to this brother right now, particularly when your cause is righteous, it usually comes with sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody brings up the fact that Colin Kaepernick, when you took this stance, it wasn't about football, right? And because it wasn't about football, the NFL said, well, we only want people who are about football. And they had a constituency flooding billions into their coffers who supported their stance. You sued them. You settled with them. So what's the issue with any waiver or anything else if you want to get back into the league? Because you know you couldn't trust them. You couldn't trust them anyway. You knew that because you sued them. You sued them. It wasn't a secret. You understood exactly what kind of sacrifice you were making. We know it's wrong. We know this brother's been blackballed. We know this brother. Right now, the Steelers should have looked at him.
Yeah.
Right now. They should have looked at him just like they looked at Trubisky. Right now. Okay, we know this. But we also knew they wouldn't. It's not a secret. It's very predictable what's happening to Colin Kaepernick. And what annoys me, what grates my damn nerve, and we do agree, but what grates my damn nerve is not Kaepernick. It's his supporters that act like they don't know.
Yeah, they know.
They know good and damn well they know. You know it don't matter that he working out. You know it don't matter that he can play. You know it don't matter that he can start. You know what this is about. He knew it too. And so when you had that opportunity to go for that tryout, which is where you and I part ways a little bit, Marcus, when you had that opportunity to go in front of 26 teams, it wasn't just the 26 teams. It was the world watching, ready to hold those teams accountable if they screwed them over. He passed to go to a high school football field with his clique.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Always a good time. Christopher Mad Dog Russo usually destroys Stephen A. Today he says he's going to beat up on him tomorrow, but we all know that's not true.
Listen.
It's
you're
just
not
trying
gonna,
to speak it aloud. It's very sad.
You've done a great job of elevating your level of credibility. That will not work for you if you continue lying to the American public about him getting the better of me. He had one good moment. Outside of that, he's been beat up, and he's going to get beat up again tomorrow right here live on First Take. Mad Dog rolled up against. He found his Achilles heel.
Hold on. Wait. He had one good moment?
One.
And I'm the liar?
By the way, Randy Gregory resigned with the Cowboys. So what?